The Presentation Podcast, Season 7, Episode 173. Are you at the computer each day working on PowerPoint presentations? What if your daily job was working on PowerPoint presentations in a different location every day or every week? Let's join Troy and Lori of TLC Creative Services as they talk about being a travel presentation designer.
I'm Troy Collar from TLC Creative Services, Inc., based in Southern California.
And I'm Lori Collar, also from TLC Creative Services in Southern California.
Okay, so today is a conversation with myself and Lori from TLC Creative Services, and something that I think applies to many that are joining us, what we plan for and what we bring as remote presentation specialists. In other words, road warriors, traveling experts, being a presentation specialist has so many facets, just so many ways of being in the presentation design space. But for many, it's either remote work, as in work not in a company office, or it is setting up your workspace in a temporary location, sometimes for a few hours, sometimes for a few weeks. It is a life and work setup that Lori and I have experienced for the past many years of our careers. So I roped her into joining me and carrying on this conversation. So thank you all for joining us. And thank you ahead of time, Lori, for joining us as well.
This is going to be fun.
Okay, so I think we just need to start off with, what is a travel presentation designer? It's a phrase I just made up for this conversation, but I think it's a very apt thing. Lori, thoughts, ideas?
All I can think, I'm going to sound snarky. Isn't it just a presentation designer that travels for work? I mean, it's a presentation designer that's willing to travel to work with their client wherever their client may need them to be. It could be their corporate offices, could be a hotel, it could be a convention center. Let's see, we've gone to what, a theater? You've done a concert, a stadium. I've done a concert venue.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so the irony is, and this is totally unplanned, folks. I am in a wonderful Marriott hotel room while recording this episode. So I am literally living this conversation. We talked about this conversation last week, and then a project came up, and I'm on it. And then I suddenly realized, oh, we have to record this. So I'm in a hotel room, actually working and taking care of this podcast. So yeah, irony of ironies.
Well, and you sound good. So clearly, you have the setup to do this well.
Good point.
Okay, so where do you typically work? I mean, you just told us where you're working right now.
That's a good point. On this exact project, I have set up my workstation in a hotel room, obviously, in a ballroom, and in a corporate office, you know, desk cubicle. So I've been kind of all over the board on this one, but I have not been on airplanes or planes or trains or anything else like that.
So you drove?
I did drive into this one. This is local, meaning it's less than a day's drive. It's actually a couple hours away. So we're not too far from the office, but I am staying up in a hotel because no one wants to battle LA traffic for 4.5 hours for what should be a 90-minute drive on a Monday morning.
And I would say just part of that too, if we have some clients that are, you know, an hour away, and if it's, you know, one time, one meeting, we may drive in, but if it's something sustained or with traffic, it's going to take us 2 to 3 hours, then yeah, we typically, that's standard if you put up in a hotel. But I need to call your bluff on something. Uh-oh. I happen to know for a fact that you are not set up in a ballroom today and tomorrow. You are not running a show from a ballroom, my friend. Okay. Where are you running your show from?
I am at a corporate campus, and the meeting is set up in the cafeteria. So
there you go.
It is set up with ballroom seating, and it has a full stage area, this and that. But ironically, I'm not in the corporate theater because it doesn't host enough people. This one is literally in the cafeteria, and all the tech tables and stuff are off to one side. But I'm just going to call it a ballroom because it's still table set up with gear everywhere.
I think it's kind of funny. You're working in the lunchroom, essentially.
It is.
Love it.
It is. Rehearsal day was actually a normal office day. So there was food going on throughout the day. We're like, oh my gosh, I'm so hungry. Little different scenario. Where do you work?
Well, like you, wherever the event is set up, and I know you guys have talked about that so much in the past. Hotel rooms, of course. You're done with rehearsals. You go back to your hotel room. There's more changes. Sometimes I work on the plane. Sometimes I work, in a airport lounge if that's available. And then I joke anywhere my phone has a signal. I'm often working. So literally in a taxi, in the airport shuttle. I mean, seriously, how do we travel for business before smartphones?
Yeah. And that probably conveys the point that deadlines are, we need it now. There is no such thing as a long,
so true. Like,
could you get this done when you arrive? It's not, hey, by the time you get here, could you have this done? So Lori, let's ask a question that I think everybody listening to the podcast knows the answer. But for us, are you Windows or Mac computer based?
I'm Windows based. I used to be Mac based until someone changed my direction there. I may or may not be talking to him right now. So Windows based, but definitely Mac ready, meaning I can jump onto and work from a Mac if needed. But more importantly, I am set up with adapters. So I can take a Mac only thumb drive, which seems to be one of the more common occurrences, and open it on my PC. And that's as detailed as I'm going to get, because to be honest, Troy, you have given me a whole lot more in terms of Mac ready accessories, most of which I'm often saying, what do I use for what?
So I'm also Windows based, although I have been known to pack two of our MacBook Pros, which run Windows PowerPoint, because they're just so much smaller, lighter, and have great battery life. But we are a Windows based operation. Primarily because corporate clients are Windows-based, and PowerPoint for Windows still has advantages over the Mac version, in my opinion.
Okay, so what would you consider your standard mobile office setup? So you don't get to work from the home office, you don't get to work from the office. You're going to go somewhere. What's your typical setup?
Probably a little more robust than a lot of people. And that's why we're having this conversation, to hopefully offer some ideas. So I do carry two bags. So I have a one bag option and I have a two bag option. My one bag is, I've got this great, fairly not petite backpack. So it carries my laptop, and I bring a mouse pad always, because you never know if you're going to be on a glass tabletop where the mouse doesn't always work. Even though I have a mouse that is glass rated, it jumps around, or you're on a textured table, like the folding tables that have that plastic texture, and the mouse laser kind of jumps around. So I always bring a mouse pad. It has all my stuff, including basic cable kit and power supply and a mouse, and all that stuff. And then I have a second bag for when I know I'm really going to go do something. And that's I have a Pelican 1510 travel case. It has the lid organizer. It's a little bit more heavy duty, and it's lockable, and it carries a lot of stuff. And that's when I really like to, I really know I'm going to be set up on this project. That's what I rolled in with. I stack my backpack on top of the Pelican. I roll in, and that's got the show computers, the power supplies.
And this, folks, is why I like to travel with him. And this, folks, is why so many technical director and other AV crew know to come ask Troy, hey, Troy, do you happen to have a this, a that? I mean, literally, he's pulled out staplers. He's pulled out the right screwdriver. You're like a go-go gadget.
There's a lot of great AV techs out there that do have their go-to,
yes.
But I also find that the presentation people tend to be a little bit lighter. So a computer, a second USB-C monitor. So I have a second monitor, a mouse, a cable kit, PowerPoint remote that can run two computers minimum. I actually carry three dongles. And then I also bring a USB work light. So it's a LED light, and it's not the little wimpy ones. It's a full-size light, but it goes in my kit because I am often working in dark environments.
And I tend to travel lighter than you when I can. And so for me, it's the same: computer, secondary monitor, travel mouse, secondary power supply. So I do not unplug the power that's at my desk. I literally have a separate power supply that I just grab and go. My clicker. And then I just have this cute little zippered pink bag with all sorts of cables and stuff. mostly what you've told me to take with me. And occasionally I call you and say, what is this again? Because you set me up for success.
So there are a lot of accessories, a lot of things in that kit. Maybe we could do is, I don't know if we'll have time to get a photo and put it on the show notes webpage.
What's your top three things in that little kit, that cable kit, that you think are the most valuable things to have?
I'm going to unzip it and take a look at it right now. So it's a little bit bigger than yours. Mine is actually kind of expanded and it takes up a considerable amount of room.
How much does it weigh?
Oh, I don't know. What do you, what is that? Maybe 6 pounds. I mean, it's not super heavy, but it's also not super light. I mean, I have every type of cable that, and they're all the short travel cables. But I have, the new laptops we run are Lenovo P1s. Are these P1s? Are these the new ones? P1s, actually. Yeah, they're the P1s, I believe. And they don't have an Ethernet port. So I do have a USB-C to Ethernet adapter. I have a little LED light in here. What's the most important thing? Probably the USB drives with the adapters, the USB-C cables. I do carry a power block, so if I need to charge my phone or use it for the USB light, I have a small extra block. My PowerPoint remotes. I mean, there's just, I really would be struggling without this. I carry a package of two batteries. So it's got two AA, two AAA, and I'm looking at right now, I need to update the AAA batteries because I pulled them out because we needed them for some PowerPoint remotes that were being used in breakout rooms at the last meeting. And I haven't restocked myself. I'm looking at this.
You have your computer lock in there too, right?
My computer lock is in. It's not at the moment because it's actually in the cafeteria.
Because that's a mandatory item.
Yes. Yeah. And computer locks are pretty easy to cut and disable. But the idea is that the computer that's locked up is not the one that's going to walk away. The other one will walk away because it's not locked up and it's just easier to go away with. How about a change of topic? What is like a favorite phone or iPad/tablet app for remote travel, remote work?
I can think of quite a few, but I'm thinking more international. But you know what? Google Maps. As simple as that sounds, I use that all the time and I use the arrive by and leave by feature. So when you type in your, starting point and your destination, depending on what platform you're on, you have to find it in different places. But literally, if I'm trying to get a sense of how long do I need to get down to Coronado Island, for example, I will use the arrive by feature on whatever day that I need to be there. And it's great because it gives me the average traffic times. I use that all the time. And then just jumping ahead for international, I will pre-pin. I'm logged in, of course, with my Gmail account. And I will pin and save places of like the hotel and the airport. But I will save places I want to go. So if like I have a job coming up in DC, I know I'm going to have an afternoon. So I will save local museums and stuff. So at a moment's notice, I can open up my phone and see what's nearby. And I've got 2 hours. I could go over here. So I love Google Maps.
Okay. That's amazing.
It's boring, but
I will list two. One is an app called Synchronize. I know it's only for the iPhone. I'm sure there's an equivalent for Android phones. It's got a pink icon. I actually have the app open right now and I have no idea how to see like who makes it. But what it is it's literally you add in all the time zones or cities you're going to be in. And it shows you the time there. So right now I'm looking at it. I can see local time. I can see Chicago, New York, London, Budapest, Vienna. So I can see a lot of different places. But what's really great is there's a little slider at the bottom. So right now it's 4-ish in the afternoon here locally. And I can see it's 12:44 in a.m. in London. So I'm not going to be calling anybody or expecting an email back. But what I could say is, hey, my London people, I can slide this little thing along and it just changes the time. So I say, well, what time is 8 a.m. for them? Because I don't want to do math in my head, I can quickly, easily say, oh, well, that's about midnight my time. So it has a sliding scale. It's really, really, really great app. I use it a lot. Different time zones, knowing when to schedule meetings, what to expect. And the second one I'm going to list is your phone itself. Confirm first, you can use it as a hotspot because you mentioned that, Lori.
Oh,
so make sure you have a plan that enables it. I don't know if any plan, I mean, there are limits to the plans now, like how many gigabytes you can use. But then you also should confirm you have tested connecting your phone to your computer to be your internet connection. Because a lot of people have hotspot capabilities, but they haven't set up their phone, or they don't know the steps to make it happen. And it's not always as easy as people would think. But yeah, I agree. Everything is internet based, and I want it on my computer, so I'm using my phone as a hotspot quite often.
Nice. Okay, what about equipment? Like, well, I know we just talked about stuff we pack and bring with us, but what are some equipment tips for being on the road?
Presentation equipment tips would be, because you're going to work with other people and you never know where you're going to be, I have what I call the everything cable kit. So I have USB-A to USB-C, USB-C to USB-C. You know what one of the favorite things is? It's a USB standard full-size USB-A to USB-C adapter, because even handing a memory stick over to somebody, a lot of the Ultra books now do not have a full-size USB port. None of the Macs do any longer. So you just can slip that onto anything from an external hard drive to a mouse, any type of device, and you can suddenly make it USB-C friendly. My particular laptop, or I should say our particular laptops, they have two USB ports and two Lightning ports, or USB-C, Lightning, right? Yeah, Lightning and USB-C. So oftentimes I'll have both the USB ports filled, but then I could use this little adapter to turn a standard USB into that. So I have actually probably three of those little adapters in my kit. You know what? A portable microphone. I always have a microphone because, like I said, this was not a planned recording time, but it was suddenly like, oh, we got to get this done. And I have I actually carry what we shipped all over the country to presenters. I have a wired lavalier microphone. So it coils up. It's actually crazy. I could walk 18 feet away from this computer because it's on 18 feet of cable. Don't recommend that one, but I have a microphone with me. Hopefully this episode is going to sound good, because I am in a hotel room. I got some pillows up against the wall to dampen some of the sound, and I'm using a lavalier mic. So that's in my kit. That's a pretty good...
You know, one thing we didn't mention, and in terms of presentation equipment, I actually think it's essential. Think about it. As a presentation designer, we're usually taking in USB keys. We have a clicker plugged in. Who knows what else? We always have a... what do we call it? See, this is what I do. USB I know what hub? It is. A hub. There, thank you. This is the problem being married to you, is that you just give me all this cool stuff. I don't have to think about it. But a hub. I don't travel anywhere without a hub, because you never know how much stuff you're going to be plugging in. And it's just plain convenient to have the extra USB.
Absolutely. Actually, ports. It's one step further. We have USB-C hubs, because USB ports tend to still get used more often.
He just gives me, I just know it's a hub, but it's techie and it's cool USB-C, and it functions great.
That, and they have more bandwidth and power than standard USB 3.0. So yes, that's a really good one. Hub is always there. What did you have a...
I had one. I don't have this, but I've actually seen some people use it, and I've been thinking this is something that I think that we would get. And that would be, occasionally I need to work on the plane or in a lounge or something, and I need to work on something that's sensitive. Now, obviously, if it's highly sensitive, I just do not work on it in public, but it might be, invoices, whatever. Those privacy screens, they are super thin. And I don't have one yet, but I ran into that situation lately where I felt, like I couldn't work on something because I was in a public place. And I was like, dang, if I had one of those privacy screens, I would feel much more comfortable getting some more work done. So,
okay.
What do you think?
Well, obviously they changed the color space of the monitor, so I'm always more concerned about design. But yes, there are times where I have not opened up files because of that. So maybe that should be on our list of items.
See, I have good ideas every once in a while. And we clearly don't have everything dialed in yet. We're always learning something new.
Absolutely.
Okay, what are some presentation software tips for being on the road?
So I'm not going to talk PowerPoint, because we've talked about that a lot through many conversations. PowerPoint, setting up a QAT for faster workflow, Having Bright Slide, Tools 2, the Thor Hammer. You know, there's a lot of add-ins and options you can do within PowerPoint to make it more streamlined and a better workflow environment. But I'm going to say my number one presentation software, and I was just working with one of our interns on this particular project that's with me for both days of meetings, is Teams, and Microsoft Teams. It's become the go-to software for everything presentation related. Do you agree?
Oh, 100%. 100%. Before we go, I make sure that files are loaded on Teams, and that way I can access them on my phone and work on stuff. And I would take it a step further, and tell me if I'm wrong here, but I would make sure that Office 365 is installed on your phone and you're logged in. Because occasionally editing in the Teams environment, you know, we all know that you want to edit in your desktop app. But occasionally editing in the Teams environment on your phone is different than editing on the app on your phone. And if you have to edit something, make sure you've got the app installed and you're logged in and ready to go.
Yeah, absolutely. So in my case, it was three computers set up, actually fourth with the intern. And we opened the files on both of them. And then we could edit on any of the computers, my production computer or the live show computer. And things could just get built and put together without having to escape, without having to, we're working on presenter A, and presenter B sends in a slide update. So we could just update it offline. The synchronization of the content just across Teams is my go-to. The ability to share the presentation with the client, and so that way they can look at it. Obviously, and this one's a good example, I have custom fonts on the show, so opening it in Teams is not an option because custom fonts are not going to work there. But I did host all the fonts on Teams, so when I got to the show computers, I could just download them and install them quickly. That's probably my go-to presentation software.
And to clarify, you are in rehearsal. Mm-hmm. And so you have your backup, your primary computer, your production computer. They've all opened the same file from Teams in the desktop app.
Yes.
So when you make a change in one, within moments, it pops up on the others.
Yep.
Yep.
In addition, the client had access to the same presentation files. I was actually using their version of the files. I didn't have access to the full Teams folder, just that one file. So by the way, there's a good tip. If you have access to a file, but you don't have access to the Teams folder because there's different ways of sharing, you can, so this is a Windows-based thing. I'm not certain how to do this on the Mac. I'm sure it's very similar. You can copy the link. So on your computer, you could use it, but how do you use that link? So then you copy the link over to your desktop, right-click, save, create shortcut. When you say create shortcut, the very first thing is what's the link to the file? Paste that in there, give it a name, and now you've got a small shortcut file you can move over to your own version of Teams so you can link to it without having to go find the email that has the link to it. So small tip.
Okay. I guarantee people are thinking this because I did not think this was a good idea when you first started saying you were doing this in terms of working directly from Teams. Have you ever had Teams crash on you? Have you ever had issues when having, you know, in a rehearsal or even a show with everybody open with the file live?
Yeah, I will say yes, but it has never been show jeopardizing. So in rehearsals, I've discovered that you cannot insert a video on the slide that's being presented because there's a lot of processing going on. That did lock up PowerPoint, and that was definitely a rehearsal move, and that was kind of a learning thing. And it was also a pretty big video. I mean, we're talking like almost a gig. It was a little stupid. The other thing that I would say there is, have I had Teams? Yes, Teams or the internet has gone out. So, but because you've opened it in your desktop app, it is on there. So as long as that computer is still on, and you haven't refreshed, well, it's not your internet connection. I guess it's there. It's the full feature. It basically will let you save a copy to your computer. So I have been in the situation where the Wi-Fi has gone down or the hardline internet or whatever it is we're using, but the show computer running that file remains fine until it's restored. And if it's not restored, you're good to run it until you quit out of PowerPoint. Then you can't reopen it. Yes, I've had Teams kind of crash. It's mainly because the internet went out, I guess. But it has not impacted the ability to continue running that presentation.
And that happened in San Diego. I remember that. And we kept trucking right along. And at the very end, like you said, we jumped out and Teams was very nice and said, would you like to save a copy of your file? Because we can't push this back. And yeah.
Yep. How about just general travel stuff? What do you travel with for your computer workstation area? Like, as example, I have a small, I mean, this thing's tiny. It's plastic. It folds perfectly flat. It's a folding phone stand. So I love it. It's sitting right next to my computer right now. It holds my phone at a little bit of an angle. And that way I can look for incoming messages, or we often use ClearComm or Agent IC. So that's my comm system. So it's kind of more than just flat, and it has a place at my desk area. So that's like another equipment-y thing that I bring. It's actually in my little GAC kit. What do you have?
You're definitely more equipment-y than me. My first thought is pack snacks. But seriously, there's unexpected delays, or you have to, you get skipped or delay a meal. No, mouse pad, number one thing for mm-hmm. me. I have my own little travel mouse that you make fun of, but I love my little travel mouse. And then the only other thing that's, I think of it as travel, is I have years ago, switched notebooks, and I now have a nice small 5x8 leather cover for the small Moleskine notebooks. And I just switched those out. So it's small, it's easy to tuck in a bag. It's also small on my desk, especially when I don't have a lot of space in a hotel room. So that's my favorite thing.
Pretty funny, because Lori definitely rubs off on me. And I have actually switched from my larger notebook system to a very small travel size one. And that's only been in the last year. So I used to have these larger ones, and I carry these just thin little ones, and I don't miss the bigger one at all. Fewer pages. I go through maybe one or two more per year, but that's been good. General travel equipment. I mean, yeah, I think that's probably, I thought the phone was a good example. I thought I'd have more examples to think of, and now I'm kind of struggling all of a sudden. What do I have around me?
Well, we already talked through all the cables and all that stuff too, to be fair. So, I mean, a secondary monitor, but I think that's not new anymore. I think so many people now, bring a secondary thin monitor.
They're a great accessory. They're really good. Okay, so seeing how you said, what do we pack? How about some packing tips? How or what do you pack?
Are we talking equipment, or are we just talking general?
Just general. Like, I'll start off with, it's equipment-y. I have an iPhone, an Apple Watch, the AirPods. I found a single cable, so it's a single USB plug, but on the end of it is...
it's an octopus.
Yeah, it's got like four ends. It's very small as far as packable, but it has two... those are Lightning. The other ones are Thunderbolt. See, I was saying that wrong earlier. The computer has Thunderbolt. The iPhone uses Lightning cables, both the same icon.
I didn't even catch that, because I would never have caught that.
So it has two iPhone chargers in essence. It has the watch little round disc, and I think there's a fourth one. I can't look across the room to see it right now. But I think that is a great just travel item. And then I have, like luggage straps. I like to put, when I'm packing my suitcase, I actually put an extra strap around the outside. One, it's easily identifiable. Two, it's just one extra step for somebody to get into it. Something like that. What do you have?
Laugh if you like. My number one is, I have a complete second set of toiletries that I just keep ready to go. So when it's time to pack, I just grab. Why? Okay, I can see you right now because we're zooming and you're laughing at me. Why?
She also brings like a second and third set of shoes just in case. So maybe that's what was going through my head.
Ugh, you're terrible. So I have a second set of makeup brushes, toothbrush, makeup, the whole nine yards, so that it's ready to go. I don't have to pack it every time.
Oh, you don't bring two. You have one at the house and you have one ready to travel with.
Apology accepted.
Okay. I totally thought you meant you brought two of.
No. So I have a second set of toiletries. And then I also have a separate, what I call, it's my bedside table bag. It's a small zippered pouch. It has, much like you, it has my charging cables I use all the time. It has essential oil rub-on that I like to use in the evenings. It has my melatonin, my lip balm, just the stuff that literally I use at the bedside table. I literally just keep the stuff in there, toss it on the bedside table, done, ready to go. Oh, and my favorite one is the new packing cubes I found. Oh. And I'll put a link. They are really cool. It's a packing cube, but it's from Amazon, but it's designed with an additional zipper. So if you want to, you can do a second, much like the suitcases that expand, it's that concept. And so you put your clothes in, but then you use that second little zipper to cinch it down, to compress it all. And they work great. They have handles. I really like them.
They are pretty. They're also pretty pink. And she's like, you should get some of these. She did send me the link. They come in gray. They come in black. So, it is a possibility. Packing tips. I carry the fragile stuff with me in my backpack or my case. And I put the heavy stuff, like power supplies and the computer locks and everything else, I put that in luggage. I will switch it all out. They're usually in their own little bag, but I don't hand carry everything I need because it's a lot of weight to carry.
But you always take at least one power supply with you on the plane.
I do always have one power supply with me in case the luggage doesn't show up. I also have one extra shirt with me just in case the luggage doesn't show up, so things like that.
You know, one of my favorite things I pack that I totally gave you a hard time about, it's a sleep mask, and I call it the Bug Eyes sleep mask. You know what I'm talking about. So it's just a typical black sleep mask. It has an adjustable strap, but it's neoprene or something. But literally, you put it on and it pops out. You look like you have bug eyes on. But I love it for us ladies that when I take a nap on the plane, I don't get my mascara smudged. I'm just saying. It's really cool. I know that's not why you like it, but
I have the exact same one, and that probably wasn't in my top 10 list of why I got it. It's just more comfortable. I do like it. It's a well worth having, and I use it. If I come back to the hotel and I've got a couple hours for a nap or a rest break, I'm going to throw that on, as well as being in the airplane. Although, I fall asleep in an airplane anytime. Some little kids fall asleep in a car. I get in an airplane, I'm out. It's
maddening.
It's travel. Good what airport.
About, yeah, I was what? Just to say that leads into airport. What do you think are the best airport tips?
Okay. So, and we've had this discussion with our newer staff. If you fly two times a year, TSA pre is a must. It just is not worth your time to wait in the lines at airports. Now, not every airport or every day has lines, but TSA makes it that much easier. If you want to be better, just go ahead and get the global entry. It lasts longer and it includes TSA pre, and the cost works out to be about the same when you do it across the three or whatever years it is. There's an application online. There's a little background security check for the global entry anyways. You should definitely do that if you're traveling on airplanes, of course. And then here's my big tip for the airports. Avoid stacking your multiple computer power supplies. I'm going to take an assumption that a lot of people listening travel with more than one computer. On this show, I came up with three. Actually, I carried the intern's computer with me, so I had four in the kit. I have been, when we're traveling out, it's not uncommon to have five or six laptops in the kit. Now, I'm not going to carry all those power supplies, but here's the deal. Don't stack those power supplies on top of each other. They just look like solid black masses on the airport security scanners. And if anything's going to flag your bag for additional inspection, it's a large, unidentifiable, unscannable mass. So just spread them apart. It makes it easier. How about you, Lori?
Mine is actually yours, but I love it. I always travel with zip ties and nail clippers. And let me explain. So you have to have a bag that has like a zippered outer pouch. And we have in every luggage, we have a little Ziploc bag with zip ties, usually neon colored, the brighter the better, and a little pair of nail clippers. So when we are getting ready to check the luggage, I just slip a zip tie on there. TSA pre, if they want to inspect the bag, they can cut it right off. And that's fine. Sometimes they actually put a different color back on, which is kind of cool. But when I go to pick up the luggage from baggage claim, I can see instantly if someone's been into the bag, because most people don't carry neon green or neon orange zip ties. And the reason you have the nail clippers is that when you get to the hotel, that allows you to get to clip it off.
Because you weren't allowed to bring anything with you to cut it off. So
exactly. I do have a disclaimer here. do not bring a nail clipper through any Hong Kong airport because they will confiscate it. Security. And then you can go into the airport shop and buy another pair of nail clippers. True story.
Yeah. What about ground transportation when you're getting to your destination? Travel tip?
We always make sure we know what our ground transportation is. Is it provided? You know, is it going to be Uber? If it's not in the U.S., do they use Uber? Figure out what the local transportation is. But if you are renting a car, and I guess for me, I feel like this is usually like vacation mode. So I'm going to take you into vacation mode for a second here. But we put our car charger cables, maybe a collapsible window shade, anything that you want to have available in the rental car, we put it at the top of the suitcase. So when you throw that luggage in the back of the car, you can pop open your suitcase, grab your stuff, load it right into the rental car and go. And I will say that collapsible window shade is a new favorite thing because they're so small. You barely notice you have them. And yet now your car doesn't heat up, assuming you've gone somewhere warm on vacation.
I'm going to go with Turo. T-U-R-O is my favorite new way of renting cars. This is more vacation mode, but it's like Uber for car rentals. You're renting somebody's car. When we're in Hawaii, we like to not look like we have a rental car. And the last time we were there, we told, you know, we've rented a crew cab truck so we can carry the paddle boards and everything on top. And I said, you know, one of the reasons I'm doing this, I always want to look like a local. And the answer was, don't worry, you'll be a complete local. We had magnetic signs that were for the local rugby youth team. So yeah, everybody thought I was friends with the coach. It was awesome. And then the other thing is, if you're using Uber or Lyft, the standard Uber or Lyft is not always the best value or the fastest available, depending on the, you know, their algorithms are often there. So coming out of LAX as example, I will often get an Uber, not XL, what do you call the higher luxury, Uber luxury? That's not the word I'm looking for. But it's usually like $2 more and it's available instantly where the other ones are so backlogged, they're not there. So anyways, I always look through the options, which means scrolling up to look through the other options. There's a little tip from hard-learned timing.
Okay, couple more. What's a good hotel tip?
Oh, good hotel tip. I always get a second room key and I throw it in my equipment kit because I figure the equipment kit is going to be one of two things. One, I'm going to forget my wallet somewhere, which has the room key in it. Or two, the equipment is going to be down in the ballroom, locked to its own, but it's going to be just another area. So now I've got a room key in two different areas. So I always get one, throw it in there. And then I'm sitting at an actual desk. So I do request a work room, like a hotel room that has a desk. A lot of them have a table or they don't have anything. And, you know, it's a thing. I do ask for it.
I would say one that I always tell our folks is sign up for the hotel loyalty program. Even if it's your first visit and it's the only time you think you'll be at the hotel, very often that in and of itself will give you free Wi-Fi. And if you happen to stay there just a few times, sometimes suddenly you find yourself, oh, I'm a silver member now. And, you know, just little perks here and there. Or you could
stay at hotels so often you get the congratulations, you're titanium for life. That means I've stayed way too many nights in a hotel room.
That says something. Okay, what's a good international work tip?
Ooh, international. So we have been doing more and more international over the past few years, and they're always exciting. I know we just did Italy. I know you've got Italy coming up again, and I've got Brazil coming up. So international's been there. And one of the things I always bring with me, because international power is a consideration, I love these IKEA it's a power bar with three, you know, plugs on the top of it. So it's a splitter.
A power strip.
It's a power strip for three, but it does not have a fuse. The reason that's important, the US has 110 volts. You plug that in, even with an adapter in a international location that has 220, and you blow the fuse. This one doesn't have a fuse. It's literally just a splitter. But you put one international adapter on that, and suddenly you can plug in three of your US devices. So I always bring that. They're small. They fit right in there. They are a great thing for international travel. And then I go onto the internet and I say, what's a power adapter in Barcelona? What's a power adapter in Budapest? And you know, what's a power adapter in the UK? Because they're all different. And that way I know which ones to bring with me.
And make sure you're prepared for wherever your layover, if your layover is in a different country and you get stuck there.
That's true. Very, very true. International power, not international power, international travel tip from you.
Okay. This is a little bit more down to earth. I always ask the local AV team. So typically when we travel internationally, you know, we come in, the client obviously comes in, but we're using a local AV team. And so I always make it a point. First of all, they're usually just fun people to work with. And it's fun talking back and forth in terms of the differences. And anyway, we could do a whole podcast on that. But I ask them for travel advice. Should I use a metro? Is it safe? How do I get a ticket? Is it cash only? What's the best Uber? Is there Uber here? Is it something else? You know, where do you eat? And it's really fun to get, you know, now the concierges are great. But a lot of times they're either steering you towards preferred vendors or often the most expensive in the city. And I get great advice from the local AV guys. So,
yes, absolutely. Okay. So bringing this back to PowerPoint, because you know this is the presentation podcast, is it realistic to be a presentation designer, a travel presentation designer?
I would say yes. You have to like to travel and you have to give it a chance. So the first, you know, few years of traveling, I was so grateful to be home. But now that I've gotten traveling under my belt, I've got a rhythm, a routine, I've got my tips and tricks. I love traveling. And one thing, though, that makes it ideal is that whenever we do travel, especially international, we make it a point to stay an extra day or two or three, whatever's reasonable, and take advantage. I mean, if you get to travel, the whole idea of travel is to see something new and different. And that should go beyond the ballroom and the airport. So
I have seen the inside of every ballroom around the world. And you know what? They all look very similar, if not identical. It's not the inside that's important. It's the being outdoors and going and finding things in that different area, that different culture. Being a realistic person is, from my perspective, PowerPoint, it has such a diverse amount of asks, especially as presentation and just communication continue to evolve. There are lots of opportunities out there. So, and it's something I end up talking to people about all the time. So I thought this would be a fun conversation. Hey, to wrap up, being a travel presentation designer, it's often part of the job. And thank you, Lori, for having fun with this conversation. There's been a couple of dozen tips, so we're not going to do a pro and tech tip section, but you know, you do need to show up with more than your laptop to be really feel like you're able to work and kind of get things through. The secondary monitor, they're not that expensive anymore, USB-C based. There's very little latency on them. The resolution is awesome. We have not sprung for the touchscreen options, but those are out there. There's just so many cool things to do, and it's a great way to work. And I'm really happy I have my travel microphone with me so that I could actually record this. Hey, thanks, Lori. Appreciate it.
This is Lori from TLC Creative Services, a professional design agency. Check us out at tlccreative.com. And if you have a virtual or hybrid event that needs a place for attendees to experience the event, check out vxpmeeting.com with our private label, very full feature virtual meeting platform and a full year of presentation topics that are unfolding at Troy's blog, thepowerpointblog.com.
This is Troy from TLCCreativeServices.com, and I get to steal Lori's line and say, ditto.
That was a great conversation. Now who is ready to book a flight? As always, thank you for joining us at the Presentation Podcast. Episode show notes are available at the Presentation Podcast website, thepresentationpodcast.com.
The Presentation Podcast is produced by TLC Creative Services, Inc., and new episodes release on the first and third Tuesday of each month.